Thank you again to Breezy Point for inviting us up here. Had a chance to stay at Breezy Point last night. The accommodations are tremendous. As always, friendly, engaging. Because of my fun in Duluth, I've not had a chance to get to Brainerd nearly as much the last 6-7 years, but it is so magnificent. Anytime you come up here, I saw my great friend Rob Berkland, who we're going to play a little golf later in the day, but Robbie and I have been up here snowmobiling. And anytime you get a chance, get away. And if you stay at a great place like Breezy Point, and I'm going to get a chance to play this golf course, Deacon's Lodge. Tomorrow we're going to talk about their big expansion, Ace Valley, at the bottom of the hour. But let's bring in the chief propeller head of WCC Radio Programming, brand manager, Brad Lane. That is still the greatest word addition to the show when Jim Cott, not once but not twice, has called the leaders of businesses propeller heads. So you are the propeller head of WCCO Radio Program.
So you're going to change it from Brain Wizard to propeller head.
No, I'll mix and match.
Okay.
Mix and match. Yes or no, did you decide to give Harrigan the day off because you felt like I would create a scene if you fired me in the office, and so why not bring me to a golf course? There is Gull Lake. Push me out there.
Yes.
And as you do it, say you're fired.
I brought you to, well, we would get a golf round in, and we would get the farthest we can from the clubhouse.
Thank you, Robbie. Right?
Have you noticed the trend, though? I have a method to my madness.
Oh, what is the method?
A few years ago, well, I hate interrupting a happy birthday song over on the other table here. It's like a...
Oh, do they have some cake we could have?
You did ask for a cookie.
I did.
A few minutes ago.
Oh, yeah,
ago.
Some folks over there.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. Let's go.
Yeah.
They just got their birthday on WCCO Radio.
Yeah.
There you
if
go.
If you have any extra cake, we'll take some.
Have you noticed the trend, though? So a few years back, when Dan Cook was out,
yeah,
I had to accompany Jason to Grandview
Lodge.
Oh,
isn't that selfless of you?
It was tough. I couldn't find anybody. And so today... Way back when they said, oh, August 21st.
Yeah.
Harrigan's going to be out.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, there's nobody else around. I need to go.
Yeah, you need to go.
Supervise and make sure that things happen.
Now, I am playing a round of golf later in the day. We could use one
more. I was not included or
well,
invited.
Well, I'm inviting you right now.
Well, I can't.
Well, not if you dump me. Okay, I gotta be honest.
I'm not going to do it in front of witnesses.
Okay, by the way. I suppose it wouldn't be a bad place. I play 18 holes. You see me cry.
What am I going to do with the other guys, though? I don't know those guys. So,
well, they might agree. They might agree.
If you're playing well, though, and we're working toward a score, no, nothing's happened.
Have you thanked me yet for the happiness?
The pergola of the yesterday you spent an entire hour.
Yeah.
Thanking yourself, by the way.
Well, I'm looking for you to thank me, too.
I thought the pergola itself would be... That kind of appreciation.
I would like the pergola named after me.
You,
is that fair?
I think the two things you said when I first came on board in April of 2021.
Yes.
You remember what the first thing was?
I'm never working
Labor Day at the fair
ever again.
And the second thing was, we need an awning at the fair.
That is exactly how I started the conversation. We had passed.
I believe I've accomplished both now.
Yes.
So.
Yes, you have. Yes, yeah, sure. But I haven't heard the thank you to me for the pergola. Because let's be honest, if I wouldn't have complained as much, I know this shocks you that I complain occasionally. If I wouldn't have complained as much as I did, would we have a pergola?
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
That part you are correct on.
Is it possible that our mutual friend Andy Lindis could add a remote control?
Okay. I believe there is one. I believe there is. I don't know if it's a remote control.
Okay.
But there is some. It is patched into the electricity.
Okay.
There are slats up above.
Yeah.
I hope everybody who's listening to us can come out and experience this because I know for a fact. I've been out there during your show.
Yeah.
It's hot as hell.
Yeah, it's a problem.
I mean, it is.
Oh, the show is hot as hell, thank you.
The sun is screaming.
It's gross.
But I believe that the slats have the ability to
open and close. Okay.
Yeah.
So here's what I say. Thursday and Friday, the opening 2 days, only our show gets to use the pergola. The other shows, if
no
they,
matter what the weather,
if they thank me enough.
Oh, good God.
If they genuflect enough.
You know, I would like to join that foursome today.
If they give me, I did this with Eric yesterday, deep bow. Deep bow.
He's bowing to himself,
for the pergola. Then, Vanita, yes.
Well, she doesn't need it. Let's face it.
Okay.
The morning show up until about 11 o'clock.
That's it.
It's the angle of the sun, you know, from your
I've studied
show.
I was complaining about this at the fan for 10 years, too. Now, what happened to the awning? Why did we abandon the awning
because
for the pergola?
It wouldn't have covered enough. So if you've ever seen those commercials, it like goes out from the porch, and it would only have covered like two or three rows.
Okay.
So
I just looked at giant, whoop, that awning that was going to go.
Chris Berman like yesterday.
And it was just way up in the air. But the pergola, it looks beautiful.
It's awesome.
It looks.
And so I saw, I had texted you during the show.
Yeah.
They had put together two different sets of plans.
To go all the way across.
One went literally all the way to Sweet Martha's.
That's what I wanted.
But they couldn't keep it going because if you've studied it, you would know it sort of juts out and it comes in. Like a long
distance.
Yeah,
that's
line.
True. That's so is this Sweet Martha. Does Sweet Martha put us to shame?
As far as what?
Well, I don't know. Stopping the completion of the pergola?
Well, we've got Sweet Martha's on one side and we've got the Republican Party on the other.
But
so.
But we're pretty abutted to the Republicans, aren't we? Pretty close?
It's pretty close.
Pretty close, you know.
There's at least a little room between us and the cookie place.
If I reasonably start selling tickets during our show for the pergola. And just
tickets
say,
for the pergola?
Yeah, tickets to sit
so
underneath.
So you're thinking there's going to be standing room only that people are going to want to sit.
Well, of course. Have you listened to the
they're
show?
They're going to. Well, it's not for the show. They're going to want to come and
for the shade.
That's right.
That's it. Okay.
Tell this guy to stop talking so that I can have the shade.
You've admitted there is no pergola without my complaining. So
that is true.
Do I benefit? Does the pergola cover us in the veranda? Yes
okay.
or no? Yes or no? You're on the witness stand.
No.
So I've done this for the audience, correct?
It's so selfless. Yes.
So I would like to charge audience members a fee to send them the pergola.
Understood. I'd like your thank you because how many program directors did you complain to before me to get it done?
Well, one jotted notes in a notebook and then put them in an area. One treated women horribly. One's in jail. I mean,
dead to us.
You know I think highly of you. But the bar wasn't really high.
Understood. But we got the pergola.
Yeah, we do.
It's all Andy Lindis. It's Lindis Construction, man. They did it.
Thank you.
We did, as you mentioned, we're not, you know, taking out the checkbook or whatever. So they did it for us.
Did they do it on the house? We had to pay him something, didn't we?
All the love we give them.
Oh,
at the
my
fair,
God. So. We're so cheap. We didn't even pay Andy Lindis. Okay.
You're surprised by this.
Okay. Why didn't we have food and drinks for Al Schock's retirement party? Come on. We should have had some food and drinks.
I will defend us in that way. I had nothing to do with it because I was in San Francisco when it happened. But
that's a duck.
I will say it is astonishing how much it costs to fortify a suite.
$500.
Keep going.
Really?
Yeah. Keep going.
All right. I want some salad days of Babs and the Boys from Brad Lane, because a lot of people remember me from that. And then we'll get to some other topics. Don't forget, we got Shaletta. We got Am I Wrong? We got plenty of other serious topics. And again, thank you so much to Breezy Point, and in particular here at Deacon's Lodge, as we bring the show to you right here on the home of the Twins. I have no idea they're playing tonight. Who are they playing? Do you know?
Padres.
Oh, my God. How did I forget
that? They're at Petco, by the way.
And I didn't mention the major.
This will come up. Have you been to Petco?
I've driven by.
Amazing ballpark.
It looks absolutely fabulous.
Yep.
Twins, Padres, are we talking about like an 8:30 pregame probably?
8 o'clock pregame.
They start that game on a Friday at 6:40 out there. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
Very interesting. Right here. Can we call them red hot? They have won three in a row. Twins and Padres tonight on CCO. Let's just take it slow. Chad Arvin, Brad Lane back here with you. Our guy Dave Harrigan off back with us on Monday. Okay. If I think of you on the radio, most prominently I think of Babs and the Boys, right? What years did that run?
We were on from 98 until, I want to say 2002 or 2003.
Okay. How often were you at Barbara's house?
I was at her condominium in Edina a few times because we had to set up an ISDN line, like a remote setup, when she broke her back.
Oh.
Do you know the story?
No, I don't.
So we used to, before we moved to Hubbard headquarters, we used to broadcast from a place we affectionately called the Swamp, which is where the transmitter was.
Patrick told me about that a lot.
Well, so one of the you think we have technical problems? One of the days, we didn't have any running water, like, period.
That's an issue. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're about to go on the air, and that show was from 5 to 9, so it was 4:55. No water, no coffee, couldn't go to the bathroom. So our newsman, Mark O'Connell, basically...
Who was a part of the show.
He was definitely a part of the show, and he goes, I'm out of here. It's 4:55. We're about to go on the air. It's not like we didn't have electricity. We could still do the show. We just couldn't make coffee, drink water, or go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm out. I mean, he was complaining, you know, cursing. And Barbara goes after him. You know, she wasn't exactly fleet of foot. And she hit the threshold between the snack room and the engineering room.
Okay.
She literally went down in a heap. So all of a sudden at 4:55, we're calling 911 because she... She's
chasing after employee who's leaving.
She's chasing after him. He's leaving. Of course, he sees her go down. He stays. They must have called local city, so Maplewood, state troopers, county people. I hate to say this because, well, I could say it. She's now long since gone. And they had to pick her up to carry her to the ambulance.
She's still laid out on the floor.
She's laid out on the floor. As everyone probably hopefully remembers, Barbara was a big gal.
Yeah.
And the one guy goes, fellas, bend at the knees.
Oh, jeez. What is Barbara doing at this point? She's in pain?
Crying out. I'm sure you can tell, you probably can guess.
I heard her plenty of times.
And so she
we never
crying
met.
Out. They take her. We get on the air, and I mean literally, it's not no sooner than after the newscast that I think Terhar goes, can we make fun of it now?
Okay, so, yeah. When was she in the hot tub? Remind me of that.
That was prior to our morning show. She was there when her producer was Peter Thiel.
Oh, yeah.
So they would take the hot tub
out
to the state fair.
That's right.
And she would invite newsmakers.
Pretty prominent.
Sit in the hot tub with her for what basically amounted to a grill session. Because Barbara did interviews like no one else.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed it.
Oh, she.
I tried to get the station to line me up with a hot tub sponsorship. I guess what I should have done is said, we'll do the interviews for a while in the hot tub, and then can I have it in my place? That's what I should have done.
Not that hot tub, though. A different hot tub.
Yeah, I needed sanitized.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get a couple of the news stories of the day here. Alex Jones, who's as loathsome as any person on the planet, in my opinion, sadly won an appeal in a Texas court today. And so the money he owes, at least one of the many settlements with Sandy Hook families, went from $50 million to $1.5 million. Two parents, according to the appeals court, showed no evidence the harassment they endured from Jones with his disgusting conspiracy, that it reached a point that they were entitled to damages above the cap. He has faced a slew of different damages, okay? Slew of different court losses. I just want people to think again about who this guy is and his justifications and his lies afterwards do not hold a morsel of credibility if you paid attention. He exists because of its extreme conspiracies and playing to people who are predisposed to like conspiracies or who are struggling with their life and they're looking for some explanation, which, by the way, does not hold any water. And after what happened at Sandy Hook, when those children were murdered, and for this vile human being to over and over again say they were stage actors, this was not legitimate, to empower and to enable followers who would publicize the addresses of families who lost their daughter or son at the age of 6 and 7 when they were murdered in a classroom. Addresses were posted so people could show up and harass. They would show up at their homes. And then this guy, when he was in a divorce proceedings, maybe it was 6, 7 years ago or so, admitted in court when he was trying to keep some level of custody with his children, this was just all an act. This was a bit. This is who I'm playing. And I get on the radio, we sometimes can go over the top. Some people do it more frequently than, let's say, we do. But, I mean, obviously the pergola stuff, I'm going way over the top and having fun with. And we do things like that, and hopefully we talk sincerely and we cover serious topics and silly topics. But included in your career is saying to mothers, fathers, uncles, aunts, grandparents, friends, that these children didn't die, Brad Lane. They were crisis actors. So anytime he gets anything that benefits him, I think it's a sad day for society.
I don't know that there's anything criminal that we can still do to him. I mean, it's all been monetary at this point. But you hate to see somebody like this walking around or even given a microphone or a platform in any way, shape, or form.
Exactly.
It's embarrassing for us, and it's it's more than tragic. I'm at a loss of words for how to describe this.
There's a Reuters story today on Moore Polymarket and the bets with, I guess they call them wallets if you're putting money down, where more insider bets involving our military and access that would only go up to, be available to you through some level of high-level sourcing. And we've had guests on this before. Many outlets have covered it, including 60 Minutes. You name the major outlets. I have been one for years who has been fairly libertarian with many aspects of my life, including on betting. And I think that I still believe, and I know there are people, listen, when I talk to Dave on it, Dave pushes back and he says, it's too available now. It's too much. I'm holding up my phone. It's too here. There are too many younger individuals who have access. And I can hear that debate. But the Kalshi and this one are so easily hacked in the sense of insider trading, they need to end.
No, this makes insider trading look like child's play.
Yes.
This is ridiculous, and they should make certain things off limits. You shouldn't be able to bet on military action or some of the things that governmental officials have access to.
Think about that.
That's crazy.
This is happening and has been happening for a while. This has to have some level of regulation. Part of the reason why the administration is not offering any sort of level of oversight is that Donald Trump Jr. is involved.
Well,
so shocking that
this is my shocked
oversight is not happening.
This is not, by the way, because this is going to come back in a Marconi award-winning version of Am I Wrong?
Oh.
Sports betting.
Yes.
I will bring it up. But this is, to me, these are apples and oranges. This is
not very different.
This is not the same thing. So for people to equate the two is ridiculous on its surface. But
I agree.
For people to have access to the kind of information that they would, and then to bet on it and to profit from it.
Involving a war. Involving
people's lives.
That's what we're doing here. Last one before we talk a little bit about what's taking place here with a brand new golf course that's going to open up next year. Saw this in the Wall Street Journal today, ghost jobs. So a lot of people who have been looking for a job, especially if they've been looking for a job for a series of time, are familiar with these. And now legislatures in New York and Pennsylvania are trying to pass bills to require employers to list hiring timelines, remove jobs after the roles have been filled. Even Ken Paxton, who, by the way, should not come close to being a senator in this country. He is as corrupt as it gets. Even he has offered up a morsel of credibility, shocking, on these in Texas, where it's becoming a faster and cheaper and easier way to post jobs, where the jobs are up there for weeks and months, and they're never filled. They're never filled. They're trying to show the interest in the company. They're trying to find if maybe one of the applicants is so good that they maybe could fill a different job. And can you imagine this, Brad? You are out of work, and you are involved. You are trying to find more work. And here's an example of a woman who's quoted saying this. You post a job, you have 500 applicants, and you're telling me not one person is qualified? These companies are looking for their own visibility, keeping their names out there, trying to generate some interest, trying to comb through all of them for a job, and it's a phony job that they're putting out there. Speaking of cruelty.
As somebody who puts jobs out there,
yeah,
and has to post for producers, for news people. We just filled, obviously, Steve Simpson's role
right
with Gracie Stockton. This is cruel.
Yes.
It's not. That's not marketing. That's cruel because you know people are looking, and that it takes a lot to apply. And, I mean, it's almost a full-time job in and of itself when you're looking for work.
Oh, man.
In terms of looking, trying to find the right role.
You think this might be a good fit for you.
It takes a lot to do that, and to come to find out, or if you ever do, that there really was no job there in the first place. It's just some sort of a free way to advertise or market your company.
Get our company out there on LinkedIn more.
That's cruel.
Yeah. Let's talk about part of the reason why we're up here. Breezy Point has been involved in having people come up here decade after decade after decade. They've been in the golf business for a long time, but they're trying something dramatically new, and the buzz, as somebody who pays way too much attention to the golf business, is really positive about Ace Valley. We're going to tell you about Ace Valley when we come back here at Deacon's as a part of Breezy Point Moments on CCO. A little Tim McGraw brings us back. This area, if you like golf, this Brander Lakes area is filled with great golf. We're here in the clubhouse at Deacon's Lodge, and I can assure you, this is a fabulous golf course. Lucky enough to play this very early. My friend of, I think, Mark Neve and I, who's running this place, might have met when he was 9 and I was 11. I've known Mark my whole life. And now the folks with Breezy Point have said, let's jump into the par 3 business and not just tippy-toe into the shallow end. Let's go deep with a course that I continue to hear great buzz about. It's called Ace Valley, and Nolan Toft is a part of this, and Nolan's kind enough to join us. Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate it. Tell me how you and Breezy Point came together and decided this was the way to go on Ace Valley.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. You know, it's been a conversation happening for a really long time. You know, the traditional has been around for over 100 years and served its purpose greatly for all that time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's no secret there was room for improvement, and we just kind of wanted to seek out what could we do to enhance the golf experience for our guests and the general public coming to play golf with us. And ultimately, we decided that, you know, rather than doing a conventional 18-hole revamp, we thought, you know, let's do something different. We have two great 18-hole tracks and Deacon's Lodge here, of course, and then White Birch right up the road.
Yeah.
Let's give them something different.
People have been playing White Birch forever, too.
Yeah. Yeah, a long time. I think it's been 18-hole facilities since 86, somewhere in there.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a great track. It's really fun.
It is. It's underrated. And let's be honest, the other places have pushed the level each time, right? In the early 90s, when all of a sudden the Pines jumped in.
For sure.
And then years later, the Classic, and now what Craigens has done. So I was curious what you guys would do and make this decision. So why a par 3 as opposed to taking the old course, conventional 18, and trying to juice that one up?
A lot of it came down to those 10 holes across the road. You know, it gets really tight back there. It's really narrow. If you're 2 feet off the fairway, you're in someone's yard. So rather than inconvenience our neighbors who live on the course, we thought, you know what, let's do something different. We have a great chunk of land on the resort side, and we looked at doing an unconventional, you know, 6 to 7 holes with some par fours mixed in there. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, we thought, a par 3 course, you know, as you put it, you know, elevated, well done, not just slapped in there, will offer us more of an experience than, you know, trying to – we didn't want to invest the money and get – it's kind of better. We wanted to do something that was totally different, not to erase any of the history that, you know, the traditional offered up those hundreds of years, but just to enhance the overall experience, we just felt that was the best way to go about it.
I am a full-fledged golf snob. I will fully admit it. I've been lucky to play some good courses, and I'm staying at Breezy Point, and I was driving over here. I said, wait a second, because I came in late last night. I'm like, there it is. And I jumped out of the car, and I didn't want to go anywhere on the property. But you can see your layout already looks really strong. This is not... And again, if people listen right now on the stream, on the podcast, if you want your basic par 3, more power to you.
For sure.
I'm not knocking anyway. But if you want something that's going to wow you and dazzle you, that just looks like a high-end golf course, whether it's your high-end approach shot on a par 4 or a par 5 or just a par 3, you guys are putting in a lot of effort to put a high-level course out there.
For sure. I mean, it's nobody's going to walk off that golf course and think they didn't play golf. It's going to feel like every bit. I keep comparing it a lot to Deacon's, actually, which maybe sound funny. But if you get out here and you're hitting your approach shot, there's just so much dynamics to what you're looking at. And where do you miss? Where do you not want to miss? There's no layup out there. Same thing over at Ace Valley. Even in its rough form that it is right now, and we have – 4 holes completely seeded. We should have 6 by early next week. So it looks like a golf course right now, but it's just so dynamic in the way it's going to play and how it looks. And to your point about basic par 3, you know, that's the great part about this project too, is it offered us an opportunity to still do something with those 10 holes across the road.
Yeah, right.
So that's going to be called the traditional 10. And for those of us who are going to miss the traditional a little bit, it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
All we're doing is we're shortening those holes across the road, take away some of that narrowness. And that will be a separate par 3 entity that's a little bit more kid and family friendly and just a quick little 10-hole loop around.
This is Nolan Toff. We're here at Deacon's Lodge. We're talking about Ace Valley. How'd you come up with the name, by the way?
We had a list of 40, 50 names that just kept getting added and added. And Ace Valley had been on that list from the beginning, and it just kind of seemed to it seemed to fit.
Yeah, it works very well. Okay. So if somebody's thinking about, listen, there are probably so many people who've come up here at any point of year, and also so many people come up here for 4th of July. So if somebody's already thinking the 4th of July, 2027, and they're thinking, listen, Will Ace Valley be playable? What are your thoughts right now?
Perhaps foolishly optimistic.
Yeah.
I think that July time frame is correct. What time frame in July is still up in the air, but our hope is by July we'll be sending play consistently.
Okay. What about later in the day golf at Ace Valley?
Yes, that's kind of the X factor of this whole thing is we do have all the electrical in the ground to have this course lit up. We should be able to send play off till about 8:30 at night, which will be something totally new to the state and the area for sure. So, the light, we're really excited about the lights.
So I remember years and years ago as a kid playing a few par threes that were lighted. But they are few and far between. To make it as playable as possible, what do you need to do with lighting for a par three course? You have a much better chance in a par three course than a par four or par five. Now, the way I've played this year, I feel like I'm playing in the dark half the time. But on a par three course, it's possible, but it's still very challenging.
It's not a small undertaking, no. It's not as easy as throwing a few lights out there. You have to take into consideration, you know, the tee box, the green, and then, you know, hopefully you have to make sure you have enough light casted to at least be able to track your ball off the tee for a little ways anyhow.
Yeah,
you
right.
Know? So it's definitely being very, not just the amount of lighting that you need, it's coordinating where those lights are. You know, how can you maximize instead of, you also don't want to have an eyesore of, you know, 20 poles on every hole.
Yeah,
you wanna,
right.
You want to minimize the distractions out there, but still get the optimal casting to where, you know, it's an enjoyable experience at nighttime as well.
Let's finish just talking about Deacon's Lodge, right?
Yes.
I remember playing this very, very early with John Hankinson, right? John was the brains behind this.
Yeah.
He was able to convince Arnold Palmer to design this. I played with my great friends, Greg Wong and John Rowe, and I still tell everybody, if you want to talk about a stunning tee-to-green golf course, where each hole is kind of its own little island, and it's just going to stand out, that Deacons can hang with any course in the state, and I still believe that's true today like it was when it opened. Was it like 2000?
99.
Okay.
Yep.
I think it's held up beautifully in that way.
I agree. I have a soft spot. This is where I started my golf career with Mark Neva.
Screamer, yeller.
Oh, yeah.
Temperamental.
Tyrant, yeah. Some might say. No, I got incredibly fortunate to have just a true pro's pro in Mark Neva as my golf mentor and get my career off the ground here. I love this golf course. It's different every time you play it, but it's still that same consistent, just wonderful experience every time. It's hard to go out there and not have a great time.
Nolan, thanks so much, and best of luck with Ace Valley, and best of luck here with Deacon's Lodge.
Thanks for having me, and thanks so much for being here.
Anytime you're thinking about golf, whether you live in this area or you're coming up here, make sure Deacon's is part of the conversation. Okay, I want to finish with this. I drove up here last night, and this is a rare time that I drive by the Royalton Dairy Queen and don't stop. In fact, I'm kind of ashamed that I didn't stop. In greater Minnesota, where is your go-to place for a treat? Ice cream, cookie, pie, cake, pudding. By the way, you can't be Chip Scoggins, whose go-to ice cream is vanilla.
Did you just say pudding?
Yeah, I was joking. Tapioca pudding. I mean, does anybody still have pudding? I mean, of course, Brad's here, so Baked Alaska. Okay, most of us don't stop and get, you know, bananas flambé just off to the side of the road. Where is your out of the metro area stop in greater Minnesota for a great dessert? And by the way, I'm going to break the news to you. Betty's Pies. I'm going to hurt the sponsorship from Betty's Pies right here. Overrated. So get out of here with Betty's Pies, okay? They're fine. They're okay. They're just not to end the world pie. 651-461-9226 on CCO. All right, places to stop in greater Minnesota for a treat. Now, one person says Cold Stone in St. Cloud. Now, you might push back and say, okay, there's plenty of Cold Stones in the metro area. But I also love my two places, my golf go-tos, are the DQ in Royalton and the DQ in Moose Lake. So then I can't rip somebody for saying cold stone, can I?
What makes those different from a regular DQ?
They're just on the way from golf.
Okay.
The yellow house in Cross Lake. Now, is that just a house that's yellow or somebody?
I think I've been there.
Is it? I've never heard of it. Right here. I got the basic mayor of Cross Lake with me, Robbie Berkland, later today. So check that out. Here's a strong contender. The best banana malt in America, Gordy's and Cloquet. I love Gordy's and Cloquet. Now, we had good food here today at Deacon's.
Yes, we did.
Including there, the burger was excellent.
You gotta tell what you did, though. You did a little mix and match.
Michelle and I shared, and the Sloppy Joe.
And so I did the Sloppy Joe for the patty melt? What'd you have?
Wagyu melt.
The
Excuse me. Lord it on. Theodore.
Thurston Howell.
Okay. Bridgman's is our family dessert treat. It's in Woodbury now. I think that, unfortunately, is in the metro area. That doesn't count. Toby's in Hinckley. Toby's is a legendary. I think Toby's is fine. Jupiter Moon ice cream in St. Joseph. Not familiar. Somebody's saying go up even further to Sue's Drive-In in Piers. The Chocolate Ox in Nisswa, Grandview, and Breezy Point. Silo ice cream in Motley. The Rustic Inn. The Red Onion in Belgrade. Raspberry Shakes in Delano. Oh, yeah, that's the peppermint twist. Very good. All right. A little bit later than normal, but she's here on a Friday. Shaletta is up next.